people, the Quran talks about this type of psychology of people like this. Right? And actually, when I met this person, then it really helps me understand when the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran about individuals who they say, أَمْلَهُ الْبَنَاتُ وَلَكُمُ الْبَنُونَ. Do they used to call the angels the daughters of Allah, right? He said, أَمْلَهُ الْبَنَاتُ. It's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daughters, وَلَكُمُ الْبَنُونَ, and male children for you. Because in your society, you don't want female children. You look down with disdain in having female children, but it's good enough for Allah. Right? Give the leftovers to Allah. Right? And all the good stuff is for you. Right? The same person, if he was in a relationship with a girl, and she says, yeah, I like you too. Right? Meaning I like someone else. He couldn't stand it. Right? It would infuriate him. He says, what are you talking about? You like me too. Should be only be me. So when it comes to me, you don't want anyone else in the picture. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, it's fine. Why is he a jealous God? Right? Number one. So this is sort of the hypocrisy of man. And the second thing, then this is not really on the topic, but the second thing I explained to him was that, look, it has to do with, it's sort of theoretical, we're not going to go into it, but you can ask me about it afterwards, because it's going to get, it'll get long. We're sort of focusing on developing a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we assessed where we stand, and we understood that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the heart to be. Wants to be purified of other than Allah. So then where do you go from there? Person realizes that they need to purify their heart, they need to grow the soul. And we said that you grow the soul by taking things from the divine realm, or taking things from what the dimension of amr, you could say, right? Ibadat. The food for the soul comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nur that descends upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmah that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hidayah that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawfiq that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fadl that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are all things which feed the soul of an individual. Right? These are things which feed the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, the barakat and the blessings that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is things which cause numu or growth within the metaphysical or the spiritual heart. If you want to think of a mechanism of growth, the best mechanism to grow your heart is to follow Islam. Right? Seems very simple. But a person says, that's too theoretical. Tell me something practically, how do I do it? Who was the physical embodiment, the practical manifestation of Islam? One individual. Rasulullah. So if you want to grow your heart, the only thing you need to do is just to look into the life of Rasulullah, see how he was, and just become like him. If you do that, even if you don't understand what's happening in a metaphysical realm within the heart, automatically it will start growing. Because what happens is, my teacher had explained to this in a very nice way. You know, in this day and age, for many women, it's almost unthinkable to step outside the house without donning a certain degree of foundation, a certain degree of makeup. Right? Because without it, they feel almost that they're exposed. Right? And when they wear this, then they feel much more attractive. Right? Because you put on something upon the thing which accentuates, right, the beauty which already exists within every daughter of Adam. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the daughters of Adam as something which is already beautiful. Every human being is beautiful, really. Sometimes people don't know, what is the dua that you say when you look in the mirror? Allahumma hassan takhalqi fa hassan khuluqi. You have created my outer being already beautiful, so beautify my character. And that's a different subject for a different day, but so they're already beautiful to begin with, but if you want to beautify it even more. When a woman wears this type of makeup, one of the first effects this has when she goes out in society, this attracts the attention of others. Right? It's a natural thing. If it didn't have that effect, right, the makeup industry would not be a multi-million, if not billion-dollar industry. Right? There's no reason why someone would pay, $50 or $60 for a little bottle of Chanel, right, if it didn't have some effect. Right? There's no reason that a person would pay $80 for a little pad of Bobby Brown if it didn't have some type of effect. These things have an effect on attracting the attention of those who are around them. In a very similar way, my teacher had explained that this Allah has created a makeup in the deen. the makeup that a person dons upon themselves is what we call the sunnah. When you put on the makeup of the sunnah, you don't attract perhaps the attention of other human beings, but you immediately begin to attract the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately becomes mutawajjih towards that individual. And when he becomes mutawajjih and directs his attention towards the individual, then he starts to feed the soul. Right? So this is what is happening in the theoretical realm. Right? The practical realm, he said, just follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your heart will grow. But that's what's happening behind the scenes. That you're imitating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attention is turning towards the individual in those fuyudah, those tawajjuhat, those epiphanies, those theophanies. They all start to descend upon that heart, right? And it starts to become purified. And as it becomes purified, then a person begins to develop a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you develop that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you start to have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human being as such is too defective, right, to attract the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the most powerful way that you do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, O Muhammad, my beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will automatically love you. So this whole theoretical standpoint and discussion that we had, it has basis in the Quran. It's not like you're just like making it up. The algorithm is only very clearly delineated in the Quran. It's just that we read the Quran, but we don't understand the depth of what's being sort of referred to. Anyone knows that, you know, we all have relationships in our lives, that there's different levels of relationships. Right? You have sort of acquaintances, and you have friends, and then you have real friends. Right? Real friends. And they say, like, you know who your real friends are because they'll stand by you and no one else will. Right? In times of need, those are the people who are around you. In the same way, there's different degrees of relationships with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here enters the whole concept of what we call wilaya. Right? Has anyone heard this concept before? Wilaya. Wilaya is what we oftentimes refer to as a friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oftentimes in our societies, right, particularly back home, when you say, oh, no, wadmi wali hai, right, such and such person is a wali, they think that he's a very pious, ponchawa, sort of like saintly individual that has this very special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one meaning. But there's several different types of wilaya. I just want to talk about that, and maybe that will be enough for today's talk, and we can save some of these other things for another day. And let me just tell you, I give you one story comes to mind right now, that this connection, it happens. Like, I remember one of my teachers, one time he had gone to, I think, one of the Haramain, and I believe it was in Mecca, and he had heard about some very, you know, saintly and pious individual. So he said, we're going to go and visit him. When he went to go and visit him, and a very old person opened up the door. They had to go through some like stairs, or at least in my memory, they had to walk up to some place, and then they got to this place. An old person opened the door. And they felt so happy that they finally met this Allah wala, you know, this very, you know, godly person. So he said, come and sit down, and they're so happy we found some. He said that we have come to meet such and such person. Oh, he said, oh, you're waiting for my father. So they're like, oh, subhanAllah, your father. So he said, wait, he went to go get some water. He'll be right back. After some time, a very young, robust, youthful individual comes into the room. He's carrying two like buckets of water, right? So strong. And he said, this is my father. So like my teacher is completely bewildered. He's like, what's going on here? That this is your father? So then they got to talking, and they said, and basically it came out that the reason he had this, you know, youthfulness was that he had made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps he had read the level of mustajab al-da'wat. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him youth. And we know that because, I mean, it happens. Some of the people in one of our chains of hadith that we have, there's one Ravi actually who has lived for 390 years. Right? I mean, we have different sanads. One of the sanads, like one of the ones that was given, I forgot which sheikh had given us the sanad, but the Ravi actually lived for 390 years. Right? These are things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not hard, perhaps not hard to understand this in our modern understanding of telomeres, and what if they had some mutated telomerase or something and didn't take off the ends or something. Who knows? In any case, And then they said that, no, if you made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should have asked for this, no, this wilayah, this ittisal, this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he replied to them, he said, what the pehle mil chuka tha, and that I had already received that from before. So after he had developed that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he had asked for youth. Right? And then he was just living, whether he was living in this life or he was living in the hereafter, in both states he was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was, such was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَانَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ أَحْيَانِهِ, that all times he was always in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when the angels came down, right? One of the angels said he is sleeping. He said his eyes are sleeping but his heart is awake. But there was this ta'alluq, right? This connection between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one type of friendship is what we call wilayat amma. And you'll be very happy to know that inshallah everyone who is sitting here listening to this has this type of wilaya. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu, he says in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali. He is your very close and protecting friend of that individual. Amanu is past tense. If you believed, just the fact that you brought even an ounce of iman, that becomes so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He includes you in His wilaya. But this wilayah is what we call wilayati amma. It's a wilayah of generality. This is just there for every mu'min. A person who really loves someone, they'll never be happy with this relationship. They want to be in the inner circle. They want to have a very special relationship. They want to be the special, beloved, unique slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This type of jazba drives a person to get a higher level of wilayah, what we call wilayati khassa. And this is something which is given to very saintly individuals, this connection that a person receives with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this wilayati khassa itself is divided into two further levels. One is we call the wilayati sughra, and the second level is what we call wilayati kubra. Wilayat al-Sughra is that type of friendship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we call the lesser friendship. You're already in a very special echelon, right? If you've achieved this level. Right? There's people who work on themselves in the spiritual development for years and years and like decades, perhaps, before sometimes they achieve this state of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens is the first one level that a person comes to is what we call wilayat al-Sughra. The sign of this is that a person's entire life becomes mutabiq with the sharia of Islam. That whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he does. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want, he doesn't do. Right? I mean, he's not perfect. Right? No one's, the anbiya were the people who are perfect. But he becomes very mutabiq, let's say. Right? Very congruent to the mansha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is the definition of what it means to be a saintly person. It doesn't mean that I can do some miracle. It doesn't mean that, you know, a person performs some type of supernatural act. That's not a sign of wilayah. When a person follows one of the mashayikh for some time, and he said, Hazrat, I followed you for so long, I haven't seen you do any mu'jiza. I haven't seen you do any miracle. Like, what type of wali is this? Because people have this conception of what it means to be wali. He said that as long as you're with me, did you see me do anything that was against the sunnah of Rasulullah? He said, no, Hazrat, I didn't. He said, that is the mu'jizah. Right? That is the mu'jizah. And really, try to go one day trying to match your life 100% to the sunnah of Rasulullah, you will understand what a mu'jizah that is. Right? Try to read one ayah of the Qur'an with the state of heart that Rasulullah read it with. And this wilayah that Rasulullah had, Rasulullah, every prophet had a nubuwa, but he also had wilayah. Right? And there's a whole very detailed and somewhat very philosophical discussion about different types of wilayah. And, you know, they have the wilayah of nubuwa and so on and so forth, and what is higher. So, but the fact that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did have a wilayah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can disagree with that? That he was not the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already saw the hadith that he was the khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This wilayah is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants everyone to shoot for. No one can be a Nabi, right? Just so he was kana Rasulullah wa khatim al-nabiyin. He was the final prophet. No one can. There's no prophet after him. He was the final brick in the house of prophethood. But the wilayah that he had, the connection that he had, even though perhaps no one can have the same degree of everything, but it's something that we are supposed to strive for. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. that in the person of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is for you uswatun hasana, a perfect, a beautiful example. The idea to have a model is that you have to mimic the model. You cannot mimic his nubuwah, because no matter what you do, no matter how many good deeds you can do, you can't become a Nabi. The only aspect of him that you can mimic or that you can imitate is his connection and his piety that connected him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the idea is to strive so that a person can connect themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. There's one higher level of wilayah, what we call wilayah al-kubra. And this is a state when an individual reaches that type of purity of the nafs, that degree of purity of the heart, that even the tabi'ah of the individual doesn't desire anything that is other than Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. See, one thing is that you're able to control your gaze, right? And one thing is that you don't even want to look. There are some people, the same way that it's so hard for them to actually stay away from looking at a woman, it's that hard for them to look at a woman. Right? There's a person who had, you know, called one, his teacher one time. He said, no, I have this interview is coming up, and about something about handshaking with the opposite gender, right? And we know Rasulullah said never touch the hand of a non-Muslim woman, so this person was not going to do it. And he had mentioned, or the thought had come to his mind, that even if he were to get a fatwa from an individual, right, that is permissible to do that in this particular situation, right, that fatwa didn't come, let me just make that very clear. But even if that were, I'm just thinking, telling you that his line of thinking, if that were to come, it would be difficult for him to make his nafs do it. Right? Fine, the fatwa is there, but I can't bring myself to do it. Because the tabi'ah of the individual becomes so mutabiq, so in concordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires, you don't even feel like doing it. Right? One of my teachers, he used to say that he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that, Ya Allah, make the sight of me looking at women like the sight at me looking at a wall. Right, this is like, you know, Yahya alayhi salam, this is like the one khususiyah that Yahya alayhi salam had. He was kan husura wa min as-salihin. That's such that when you look at a wall, there's no shahwa that arises within an individual. It's just a wall. You don't even think about it. He desired that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to be saved from this fitna so much that in the same way that the fitna is not aroused when I look at this, that inadvertently if anything happens, even in that first glance towards the opposite gender, not make my heart mild that way. Right, and Allah SWT actually granted him this ni'mah. Right, and it really became like that for him. Right, this is what we. So there, a certain idea, some certain level arise where a person achieves this wilayatul kubra. See, I forgot who the sheikh was. What he was saying, he said about one of his students that, you know, for everything there's a kamil degree, there's a perfect degree. There's the acme degree of ilm, there's an acme degree of amal, and the acme degree of ikhlas. The perfection of a person's knowledge is that you see no contradiction between the primary text. The person who is a scholar, he will understand what that means. When you actually get into the nitty-gritty and the legalistic and juristic implications of the verses, it gets very complicated. And he says he has accomplished this. And the completeness of a person's amal is that a person's tabi'ah itself, his nature, his temperament becomes mild towards that itself. And that is accomplished within this individual. And the completion or the perfection of a person's ikhlas is that whether a person praises them or whether a person debases them, it's all the same to them. It makes no difference. That was also found in such an individual. So the reason that we are actually living in one way, you can say, is that we want to attain this wilayah. Ala, inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. You can imagine, when you have this wilayah, your life becomes a bed of roses. Ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, listen up. Inna awliya Allah, indeed the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? La khawfun alayhim. On the day of Qiyamah, they will have no fear. on that day when people are going to be drowning in their sweat. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Mother is running away from her child, husband is running away from his wife, everyone on that day, نَفْسِي نَفْسِي لَا خُوفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. These people are not going to be afraid. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And they will have no grief. They won't feel bad that when everyone was chilling out, I was spending time in zikr. They won't feel bad that everyone was watching DVDs and I was sitting and reading Quran. They won't feel bad that everyone was going and partying and having a good time and I was having to, I spent my time in the masjid. They won't feel bad that everyone lived in nice houses and drove nice cars and I sacrificed my wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lived a simple life. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There's no grief about the past. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love these people so much. So much that it comes in one riwayah. Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu bil harb, aw kama qal. That whoever opposes, whoever hurts a wali of mine, faqad aadantuhu bil harb, then I have waged war on that individual. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, this is my buddy, I have his back. Right? You don't mess with the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person develops such a connection. I'll give you one example. I guess we can just finish with this. It comes to mind. There was this one individual that I had heard about, and he had a very profound impact about hearing about this individual in my life. That this person was a revert to Islam. He wasn't born with Islam, he reverted to Islam. He learned the deen, so on and so forth. And he achieved such piety that, I'll give you some examples. He read the hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ, that when he was praying, right, that Aisha radiallahu anha had to move her foot, her feet, and then he would make sajda, and then it would go back. So the way he interpreted it was that Rasulullah ﷺ was so, house was supposed to have been so small. So what he did, no, right or wrong, but he had built his house so tiny that he could not spread his legs out when he was sleeping. And he thought to myself that my Nabi, when he slept, he could not put out his legs. Who am I? Which king am I that I spread out my legs when I sleep? And he made a little bit nicer place for his wife, and he kept, because to do her ikram, and he kept her there, but he slept over here. This is a person donned from head to toe in sunnah, and he literally would go to house, calling people to the deen of Islam. Saying that this is the deen, like this is out in like Mississippi somewhere, right? You see like a black man, right, out in the boonies of like redneck town, right, going house to, that takes a lot of guts. Calling people to that this is the deen of Islam, please come and accept Islam. It came to the extent that even the mayor of the town knew this individual. Right? I mean, a person's piety becomes known. You can't hide it. They had built a small masjid. He heard that in Masjid Nabi there was no light. In that masjid also he kept no light. Right? There's no fire. They just lived like that. This person, he just gives you an idea of how much mahabba he had for Rasulullah, how much mahabba he had for the sunnah, how much ittiba he had for the sunnah. And ittiba is a reflexive form, right? Bab isti'al, that it's sort of like internalized almost. That step by step he's following the sunnah. It just so happened that one time he had gone somewhere to give da'wah. When he had gone there to call people, one of the people did a lot of bustaki with him, right? Really insulted him in a very, very terrible way. And you see this in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ. People treated Rasulullah ﷺ terribly on many an occasion, and he would just keep silent. And he would keep, he would just forbear. But there are rare occasions, and you'll find in the seerah, where someone pushed Rasulullah ﷺ the wrong way. Right? And he would say something, and that would have, I was sent with zibah. Right? Or one of the person he had made dua against that one individual, when Allahumma sallat alayhi kalbun min kilabik, right? Aw kama qal, that release upon him a dog from amongst your dogs. And this person had gone to Syria. When he had gone to Syria, a lion started coming after him, right? And this person, he said that Muhammad is sitting in Mecca and he has killed me in Syria. Like he remembered the dua of Rasulullah. So similarly, what happened was this person, when this person dealt with him in this manner, he just raised his hands and he made a very simple dua, and then they moved on. Very soon after, that person just passed away. Right? When the people who were with him, they found out, they said, "We never want you to make such a dua again." Right? When a person develops a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes very real. It's a relationship. Right? It's not like, I mean, there's more stories, but we won't go into it in the interest of time. Just understand, right? The big take-home messages are the following. Number one, it's very possible, it's very real to have a very vibrant and viable relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the way that this is done is by working on one's heart, because that is the organ with which one person connects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and achieves his wilaya. And then the last thing is that how does a person do this in a practical sense? And we discussed that the easiest way to do this is to imbibe every aspect and to engage oneself in the ecstasy that is grabbing every sunnah of Rasulullah and bringing it into your life. Literally digging for a sunnah, bring it into your life. Digging for a sunnah, bring it into your life. And the more that a person does this in their life, the more they will find this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming closer and closer and closer. The more they will find their heart pure and pure and pure, the more they will find themselves in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in love with them. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So I guess, I don't know if we have time for questions. What's on the schedule? We have the Salihin boys, right? Oh. What's that? 2:30? So if there's no questions, inshallah, we can break.